Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento, because if enough small businesses succeed, we all succeed. But you know what? So many business owners, they fail to maximize their potential. They fail in so many ways because they feel alone, right? Isolation is the enemy of the entrepreneur. This show is all about friendships. It's all about alliances. The Haney Biz Project is all about entrepreneurs, helping entrepreneurs, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, and it all starts with one simple question, Marcus. What is that question?
Are you hanging or are you banging, yeah, Sacramento?
Yeah, because if you are hanging, that's cool. It's okay if you're relaxed and hanging out a little bit on a Saturday morning, no problem. But if you are banging, that means you are at your very best, at your very best opportunity. What do you think, Caroline Gaines?
Yes, definitely.
Well, when you are at your very best, Caroline, what does that look like?
That looks like, for me, out in the community, meeting new people and making friends.
Building a PR company. Now, Marcus, you are an entrepreneur as well. Tell us about what banging looks like to Marcus Haney.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a safety supply company, as I've mentioned on the show before, and that looks like connecting my customers to safety solutions that fit their business model the best, and that's what I really look forward to do, is helping my folks keep their people safe.
Now, today's topic is innovation, right? Because innovation is so important when we're trying to build these businesses. We have to continue to improve. Now, Caroline, you were out at the Chamber the other day, and the Chamber of Commerce over there in Roseville, and I believe you heard something along the lines of that the word innovation is like the sexiest word in the world for entrepreneurs these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, in today's world, things are changing so quickly all the time. And if you want to keep up at all as a business, you have to move and you got to be forward thinking.
You bet. Marcus, now you've been in the Marines. And now, obviously, there's a ton of innovation that happens in the Marine Corps. What is the, besides the cell phone, besides some of the big things in life that have disrupted the world in terms of technology, what do you think the biggest innovation is in your life over the last few years?
Oh, I was going to say the machine gun, but I guess
you're
other people's lives instead.
Yeah. I guess you're in the Marine Corps. How about you, Caroline? What's the big innovation in your life that's helped you personally?
I'd say one of them is a laptop, because I am always on the go.
You have to have a laptop. You need to be portable.
How about Facebook connecting the entire world, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they've done some absolute crazy things in bringing everybody together, which has really shaped my generation as a whole.
Yeah, it's the way we watch TV, right? I grew up, my dad was a TV salesman. Yeah. I mean, now we're watching TV on our phone. It's incredible the way things have changed. But what about that latest news, Marcus, right? You heard about the guys that are disrupting the grocery industry, right? Amazon is buying Whole Foods. I mean, what's that do to society?
Oh, man, it looks like your neighborhood grocer is going to be able to deliver, you know, right to your front door. I mean, Amazon and Bezos over there, they're even building a cargo fleet of 40 planes of their own to 767s to be able to deliver stuff all over the world, which is like, okay, where are these guys not going to go?
Yeah, what does that mean to the courtesy clerk occupation or the checker at the check stand?
That used to be a great job.
What about the minivan, Caroline? I mean, you know what? When you go shopping, you don't need a minivan to carry all those groceries, right? So what's that do to General Motors and Ford and all the other big companies building cars?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely affects it. And you're, again, having to think forward all the time to try to predict stuff like this happening.
No doubt. Now, speaking of the Amazon deal, I heard on CNBC the other day, the experts were talking with amazement. They were saying, can you believe that Amazon is paying 30% over market price for Whole Foods? And I'm like, 30% sounds about right for Whole Foods, isn't it? 30% over?
Yeah, whole paycheck.
Let's, you know what? We're going to talk to two guys today, entrepreneurs here in Sacramento, that know a few things about the battle in entrepreneurship, disruption, and innovation. And we all know that the best way to learn is by getting in the game and doing it ourselves. But the second best way to learn is by going one-on-one, getting the firsthand experience from folks who have actually been in the arena. And that's what we're going to do today. Later in the show, we are going to meet a man surrounded by innovative entrepreneurs, Mr. Brandon Weber. Brandon is the founder and CEO of the top-ranked collaborative workspace in California, the Urban Hive. But after the break, we will meet Oleg Kaganovich, venture capitalist and the founder of the innovative startup Window. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Kim Silver's HR. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of the Solar System people over at Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Oleg Kaganovich, venture capitalist and the founder of innovative startup Window. How you doing, Oleg?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
You bet. Now, you just got back into town. You said you might be a bit jet lagged. What's going on?
Super jet lagged. Just spent a couple of weeks in London and Paris. Started out as a vacation, turned into a little bit of a business trip.
The life of an entrepreneur. Right. He turns a time with family into a business opportunity. And I heard that there was a little innovation needed as you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or near there in London, in Paris. What happened? You used your walkie-talkies?
That's right. First time ever decided, I wonder if I could find a reason to use walkie-talkies when I'm traveling. So brought them with us. Wasn't sure what we're going to do with them. But earlier this week in Paris, there was a little bit of a security threat. And my wife and I were split apart for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
I had the kids and she didn't. So walkie-talkies saved us. All the cell lines
were down. You could not use the cell phone. I mean, the rest of us would be thinking, well, I have my cell phone. That's covered. You've got the walkie-talkies.
Got the walkies. The Boy Scout.
Love it. Okay, Oleg, let's find out about your business background. You're a venture capitalist, but you've also started something called Window. Give us an overview, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So Window actually got started when I was traveling back and forth between, of all places, Saudi Arabia and the U.S. I was asked to be a venture capitalist over there to get their ecosystem started, and I was in New York on business. And one of my back-to-back meetings got pushed back by a few hours. So that meant I had several hours in the middle of the day just to do what I wanted to do in New York. And there's a lot to do in New York. So I went to the front desk of the hotel to ask, what can I do in New York that's more than just going to a museum for a couple of hours? And they struggled. They sent me to Google, which gave me 2.5 billion results.
The people at the front desk sent you to Google. That's kind of crazy.
You
think there's a concierge service that sends you down somewhere in New York? I mean, there's a lot of plays and things like that.
That's true. But when you have a limited window of time and the time doesn't fit a play or a particular act, you never know what you're going to be able to find.
Hence the name Window.
Window of time.
Okay, right. So tell us about the business you built.
So Window helps the travel and hospitality industry deliver a much more relevant and engaging local experience for travelers. So for any point in time as you're traveling, most people don't plan much of what they're going to do day to day when they're traveling until they actually get there. So it's very spontaneous. So once you get there and you're trying to figure out what is the best, most quality way to spend my time, whether it's today, tomorrow, afternoon, or whenever it might be, Window will, in effect, hunt and kill the right options for you instead of giving you everything, which no one wants. The paradox of choice.
So it gives you this choice of stuff that's happening in your geographic area, in your window of time.
It's logistical relevance. Not just where you are, because Yelp can do that, but when you are, which is much harder to do.
And now, when you, it's a piece of software, right? So it's on a website and I log on. How does it work?
Yeah, so for the most part, the business is actually, we're a B2B2C, so business to business to consumer. So our primary customer are actual media companies and hotel companies that use our technology to serve their travelers. We do have an app, mostly for testing, but anyone can go either for iOS or for Android and download the Window app, WYNDOW, and use it directly as well.
What's the benefit to the hotel sell by having access to your product?
So several fold. Most hotels get a material amount of their business from OTAs, online travel agencies, so Expedia, Kayak, etc., which cost the hotels anywhere from 18 to 30%. They want more of that business directly. So by having highly relevant local content that changes every 30 minutes instead of once every several months when people manually update it, it's much more engaging. So when you go to the hotel website to see what's going on, much higher likelihood that you'll stick around, come back more often, and likely book with them. And then once you're in destination, it's a competitor against the Airbnbs of the world, which are trying to push their own trips on you, to give hotels a reason not to send you away to Google, TripAdvisor, or anyone else. Keep them within their brand. So that's what we do. We help reinforce our partners' brands.
Nice. Now, your pricing model is subscription. Is that correct?
It's a dual pricing model. The primary in phase one, really, is it's a licensing subscription, software as a service model.
Okay.
Where we provide a service to the hotels and media companies, and they pay us monthly.
And how did you arrive at that pricing model versus some kind of transactional opportunity where you pay per click or something like that?
Yeah, there's absolutely a transactional opportunity, but that comes with distribution. So that's really going to be phase two. There's a defensibility from a business model point of view by working with business partners to help provide distribution for us instead of being straight business to consumer, which takes significantly more money to be able to break through all of the noise.
And what stage is the business in? I call you a startup, but you've been doing this for a while. Tell us about what stage of the venture you're at.
I mean, if you think of startups as an organization hunting for a business model, we're in the we're maturing and really developing from being a startup to being an early stage business.
Okay.
We now have several paying customers and significantly more. We have 20 to 25 pilot customers, and we'll likely have north of 100 by this time next year.
Wow. And you guys are based right here out of Sacramento.
We do. Absolutely. We're a Sacramento-based company. We have a sales office in New York, but and at some point we'll have something in Europe, but we'll always be a Sacramento-based company.
And you come from the venture capital world, and so how did that intersect with Window?
I'm an entrepreneur through and through. That's where I started. I went to the venture capital world, and now I'm back to the entrepreneurial side of things.
And what give us your background so you can tell me what that looks like, because I think our listeners would find it interesting to know that somebody who's had your kind of success then would just go to a startup and kind of start all over again.
Yeah. It was born in the Soviet Union. We came here. Life was never easy, so we had to be scrappy. So this is where I learned that really anything you do in life, especially being in a startup, is all about endurance and resilience, because it's not going to be easy. People are going to say no to you all day long, and you have to know how to get through that. And one of the best lessons I ever learned on the startup side of things is you win by not dying.
Ah.
The next day, every day that you're alive and around and able to sell is a day for good things to happen.
What's the key to not dying?
So obviously being scrappy is part of it. You do whatever it takes. If your company is in trouble, you stop paying yourself. You do everything possible to keep the product in front of a potential customer until you figure out how to sell.
You have to find a way to have revenue coming in at some point, right?
Absolutely.
You raise a little bit of money or you put in your own money, but at some point you've got to have those paying customers.
That gives
that chance of survivorship, a lot better odds.
That absolutely. And not only that, the best form of financing, forget about venture capital or angels, best form of financing is sales.
Yeah.
And you don't give away your company when
raise
you do
money from your customers.
Absolutely.
What a concept. And now, so you have this survivor characteristic about you. That's a philosophy. One of the other philosophies that I found is my daughter says to me, Dad, it's like you've never worked a day in your life. I believe in doing what you love. It really helps you to keep your commitment. What do you love about what you're doing right now at Window?
Wow. It'll take much more time than we have. But why don't we start with this? I love that we're making an impact, changing an industry. I love that we're helping people in a way that they never thought was possible. I love that I was able to take a vision, bring together a team that is as passionate about what I do as I am, and together take an idea and actually turn it into something that people not only want but are willing to pay for.
I love it. Well, we're going to be talking more about innovation. To me, that is innovative, and we're going to be talking about innovation as the show goes on, and we're going to be bringing in Brandon Weber, who you know very well. We're going to talk to him about his his venture. His venture is Urban Hive and IO Labs. We're going to be talking about that. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Brandon Weber, the founder and CEO of the top-ranked collaborative workspace in California. Brandon is the man behind the Urban Hive and IO Labs. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing well, thank you, Mark.
I heard you guys throw a great party over there at the Urban Hive. I have been there myself. What a vibe. I mean, tell us.
We work too. Yes, but we work and play.
It is about having a good time. Now, I also hear that there's a very creative woman that helps oversee those operations over there.
Oh, absolutely. My wife, Molly. Yeah, absolutely.
She knows how to throw a party as well.
Yeah, she does too. Exactly.
How did you guys come up with the name Urban Hive and IO Labs?
Oh, wow. How do we come up with a name? So actually, interestingly enough, the Urban Hive was a name that I had attached as something for a totally different business at the time. It was going to be an online idea, and so I bought the URL thinking, what am I going to do with this?
And it worked.
When we started, I was like, well, it just fit what we did so perfectly, and it was kind of nice because I had that URL from a long time ago.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
That saved you like $6 or something.
Right.
Huh?
Or it wouldn't have been available any longer, right?
I just played around.
Yeah.
So I think it's a cool name, but the vibe is really cool. Tell us about what happens when you walk in to the Urban Hive.
Well, we talked a bit about this before. Is that we definitely are firm believers that, you know, there's a good quote out there about people shaping buildings and then buildings shaping them. We do believe in taking these old buildings and giving them new life and having it be a very, very cool environment for people to work. And basically what we're about is we're about empowering entrepreneurs, we're about empowering startups, small businesses, by supplying them with a vibrant community of other entrepreneurs and also giving them access to, you know, simple things that you need, like workspace, meeting space, gathering space, event space. So
you go into Urban Hive and you can rent yourself a desk, you can get an office, you have other like-minded entrepreneurial type people there. And what problem are you solving with that?
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of problems. I think one is for those of you entrepreneurs that are out there, I'm sure you have a lot that listen to your show. Being an entrepreneur can be a very solitary existence, especially when you're just getting started. There's an incredible amount of support that you desire and you need from fellow humans. And honestly, there's just the
none
need
of us
for,
wants to be alone, right?
Right.
And
we are social animals. We need to be around other people. And so that is one thing, by bringing people into a space. We had one entrepreneur that had been struggling to get a business going, and we actually had an interview with him. He has some very successful, well-known businesses in town. And he had said that the big turning point for him was getting out of his home office and coming into the space, because you're connecting with other entrepreneurs. You're connecting with leaders in the community. You're connecting with people who help your business and help support you. But also, you know, there is, of course, the space part, right? You know, we do have, you know, conference rooms, the offices. So you can have your meetings. You can meet in the open space. As you said, there are a lot of people who just come out and work in the open space, almost like a cafe,
but
like a modern workspace. That's really how a lot of offices are being set up now. So you're working out in an open space. Some people have their dedicated desks with their own computers and so forth. And then other teams have offices. We have about 15 teams that have offices for about, we average between 3 and 6 members teams.
And you guys are located in the Midtown area.
Yeah, we're right at 20th and H currently.
But you're expanding. Walk us through what goes in your mind when you're expanding, because you have a waiting list right now at
Correct.
Urban Hive. So you're needing to add some more space?
Correct. And we do have some memberships available. So please, if you are listening to this and are very interested, please come. Unfortunately, we are very tight on our offices and desks. But the reality is, if you become a part of the membership, you have first dibs on that stuff as they come available. But yes, we do have a need for more space. We're a popular space. We have over 120 companies now that call the space their home. And it's less than 7,000 square feet. So it sounds a little weird. We average more than 200 people that work out of the workspace. We have our Wi-Fi router, so we can tell, you know, who's there at times. And so we have over 200 people every day that work out of the workspace. But honestly, there's probably about 60 60 people at any given time. So that sounds like a lot, but the reality is that, you know, it cycles. Not everybody's using the space at the same time. And so that's what makes it work as a model as well.
So you can become a member, you get engaged in this community of entrepreneurs, but it's pretty full, so you're expanding. Tell us about that expansion.
Yeah, I mean, we're still at a point where there's still a good spot. You'll be able to find a good spot to work or to even meet with somebody, bring them in and have a meeting.
Okay.
But yeah, we are indeed needing to expand. We are expanding from 7,000 square feet to space in the Cannery, which is an amazing old building.
Oh, yeah.
The Fulcrum Development is transforming into basically
where, Sherry
a
Atwood tech, and Support
yeah,
Pay
absolutely.
Are
Support
located.
Support Pay is right next to us. We're really excited about that. And so we've got about 14,000 square feet that we're starting there with an expansion space that we have an option for. Nice. Another 10,000 square feet. And so, yeah, we're very excited about that. We're on target. We just met, you know, I've learned really to be very careful about giving dates, but before the end of the year, how's that?
Okay. But you're also expanding into something called IO Lab.
Yes, IO Lab. So that's the other part of town. That's downtown, 7th and J. And I should be clear, the other building is at Alhambra and basically R, between P and R. So right at the very end of the R Street corridor. Or very, very cool center of town, or the center of the area, but it's right between Midtown and East Sacramento.
Great places to go after work.
Exactly.
And that sort of thing.
Hang out. And so, and then IO Labs is right down. I mean, right across the street from the arena, 7th and J.
Wow.
We couldn't be in a better location. You know, we started this journey a couple of years ago, and so we had no idea how booming the area would be, and it's now, we were figuring out that there's something like 40-some restaurants just within like a week, block and a half that are going to be.
Thank you, Sacramento Kings, for staying
right?
in
no,
town.
Oh, man,
and,
absolutely.
Look at all
absolutely.
This. What's the difference between Urban Hive and IO Labs?
So the Urban Hive really focuses on the individual and the team that kind of comes through to kind of get started as they're getting going, but it's mostly about the workspace and the community, whereas IO Labs has that, but it's geared a little bit more for companies that are scaling. So, you know, they have their idea, they built their team. Our teams max out at the Urban Hive probably around 12, 15, and we will be hoping to have teams that are larger than that over there.
Oh,
but
wow,
I mean,
okay.
You can still start as an individual as well, but we basically have programming that goes along with it. So we support entrepreneurs. We basically help them find funding. We help them scale their companies, and the same thing, we still provide workspace as well.
Yeah, so thinking about the vibe over at I've been over the startup grind, right? Rich Foreman interviewed me, and there was a bunch of people that came in and talking about entrepreneurship. But you have events there beyond startup grind. Tell us about the events. I heard there's something called a hackathon.
So we have a hackathon coming this weekend. We have Angel Hack, which is happening, which is they're
what's
actually
a hackathon? Anyway,
sorry, I jumped ahead.
Hey,
there.
You know,
This is going back to the very beginning or formation of a company. It's a lot of times where a company starts, and for other people who already have companies start, it's a great place to play. Basically, all these people come together. They're usually coders, they're designers, they're entrepreneurs. They come together on a Friday night or a Saturday. The entrepreneurs all pitch their idea, and then the other coders and designers basically say, hey, I want to work with that idea. Honestly, about a half to two-thirds of the business ideas kind of fade away because nobody jumps onto them.
Okay.
But the other ones get built, and they basically spend the next weekend building out these products. So somebody could go in there with a business idea, no team, and basically show up on Saturday morning. You go in Saturday morning, you have your idea, and all of a sudden you have a couple coders and a couple designers that jump onto your
wow.
company, and you actually build the ideas to build a very, very minimum viable product.
Right.
I mean, it's a very, very
but that's
early,
how things start.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
sometimes
a
it starts with just
a product,
that dream or
will.
That
yeah.
innovative idea.
Yeah, and people work. I mean, some people come in and they'll, some people come in to work eight hours Saturday, 8 hours Sunday. Some people come in and they'll work all the way through the night.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's really a lot of fun, and we're really proud to be partnered with Angel Hack, the world's largest hackathon organization. They happen in over 100 cities and over 50 countries in the world, and we actually house most of their team out of the Sacramento location. They're based out of San Francisco, but we have a good part of their team out of Sacramento, and so this is just a fun thing for them. They want to be able to kind of, they want to throw an event, so it'll
you
be fun.
Obviously love your job. What do you like
I love
most?
My job.
What do you, what really, I mean, makes you so that you can't get out of bed in the morning? You're just so pumped up to hit the day to do what?
Every day our entrepreneurs are growing their businesses, they're discovering new things, they're connecting with one another. I mean, the the rewards, it's hard for me to even put it into words. Does that make sense? I mean, it really is amazing that you're able to work with
seeing other people chase their dream, and when the needle starts to, turn over and things start
and
to click.
And it's catchy. And it's really, really catchy, I mean, we have so many companies now that have 20, 30 employees around town.
Wow.
We have brick and mortar companies that have started out of the Urban Hive. I was just thinking about the other day, R. Douglas was a great clothier, really high-end clothier that they suit up all the lobbyists in town and so forth.
Great idea, starting right there, right here in Sacramento, right here at the Urban Hive, soon to expand to the IO Lab.
So if you've got a small company or a growing company and need office space, workspace, come check us out, definitely.
The perfect place to innovate, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that after we come back from the break. When we return, we're going to bring back on Oleg Kaganovich, and we're going to dive deeper into how innovation can affect your business, how it affects the Sacramento region. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Audi Rockland. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by both Brandon Weber of the Urban Hive and Oleg Kaganovich. And he's with Wendo. I pronounced his name correctly. And
right,
it almost sounds like a name like I'm introducing the starting five for the Sacramento Kings, right?
At 5'7".
At 5'7" for the Sacramento. Oleg Kaganovich.
Love it.
It's a great name. We're talking about innovation. And Oleg, why don't we start off with you? You've done some innovating in your life. What does innovation mean to you?
It's doing something new and not being afraid to fail when you're doing it. You just try something new. If you fail, you learn from it.
Yeah.
Turn around and do it again, do it better. That's really
doing something new. Yeah,
and you start by actually doing, right?
Yeah.
You have to take that first step.
Something's got to improve, right? Okay, so you guys have had at Urban Hive, Brandon, you've had a number of businesses thrive, start up there and begin to thrive. What's innovation look like in your world?
Well, first, you didn't say anything about my name, Mark.
I did. I think of Chris Weber. I make me want to say Chris Weber. Sorry.
But innovation. I do agree with Oleg in a lot of ways, and I also see it as you're doing something new, but you're oftentimes solving old and new problems.
Okay.
Or maybe even problems we didn't know we had.
Are you attacking the biggest problems in the world, or what about just attacking some of these tiny problems?
It could be the tiniest problem in the world, right? It could be a problem that you didn't even realize existed until somebody came out with a solution. We were just talking about Airbnb, right? Those are the sort of companies that you didn't realize there was a problem there, and then all of a sudden you have a solution. You're like, wow, there was a huge problem there beforehand.
And you think about Wendo. You're helping hotels get a little bit more, engagement with their customers, right? It's kind of a big thing, but you're taking one small slice of that engagement and handling it.
5x more.
Oh, 5x more. Tell me what you mean.
So once we plug in our technology into a hotel website or any hotel digital ecosystem, the amount of interaction between the guests and the hotel's local content page goes up by anywhere from 5 to 8x.
Holy cow. Wow.
So what you were talking about a little bit more, innovation can be incremental, but venture capitalists tend not to invest in incremental innovation, right? You need 5 to 10x improvement, faster, cheaper, better.
Yeah. So they don't want to go after something that is only going to have a minimal growth trajectory, because they want to get in and get out at some point.
That's right. And it comes down to risk and return. The return has to be significant in order to take the risk.
And innovation at the IO Labs, right? You're going to be expanding, Brandon, over to IO Labs. You're going to be putting people together with funding so that they can solve some of the bigger problems, I guess, or bigger opportunities. What kind of companies are going to be innovating over there at the IO Labs?
So we have varying levels of innovative companies. So we basically will have some companies that we are really actively engaged in with our accelerator. So these are companies that are actually getting a programmatic help, educational help, mentorship, as well as funding and connection to hopefully additional funding after the program. Those teams are specifically aimed at next city technology. So these are technologies basically that make the quality of life in our cities better.
Now, how do you think this growth that you're having right there in downtown is going to affect Sacramento, right? The entrepreneurial landscape in Sacramento is changing, and you're a part of that at IO Labs and Urban Hive.
Oh, it's really exciting. I mean, it's absolutely exciting. In fact, it's interesting because, and I know that Oleg has been in the city for a long enough time to see this as well, is that, you know, really that idea or vision of us as just a real estate and government town, yeah. I feel is quickly changing, at least in the world and the people that I'm connected with. And so it's really exciting.
So we kept the Sacramento Kings here. We talked about that a little bit, but we've also got some great education right here in Sacramento. Oleg, what do you see for the future of Sacramento's entrepreneurial landscape?
So there's, and we don't have to go over all of the universities and colleges that are here, but there is a phenomenal amount of academic power here. And the entrepreneurial ecosystem has blown up. And I'm seeing that this has really happened over the last, 2 to 4 years?
Right.
And it starts at the core. It will absolutely impact the entire region, the 7 or 9 county region, whatever you want to call it. But it starts at the core with entrepreneurs, not just tech entrepreneurs, but focus on creativity. Innovation comes in all forms. Not only working downtown in the core, but living and just going on with life after 5 p.m.
Yeah, well, and innovation turns into jobs for your companies, right?
Absolutely.
And for the companies that you surround yourself with. But you mentioned the other businesses that that come in to support these job creators. I mean, it's
right. Yeah, the metric is what, for every one tech job, there's 5 jobs
that create
5 to 7 other jobs. And I want to tack on what Oleg had a really good point, which is what's happening in downtown. Yes, of course, But what's happening in downtown, I really do think that was something that changed. And Oleg has been in here for a while as well. And known, I mean, not that old. I'm just saying that you've been here for the last 15 years in Sacramento.
He's experienced.
Right? Yeah, I've been 15
not
years
Not as experienced as me.
Well,
old, I should say.
But 10 or 15 years ago in Sacramento, you know, most of the innovative companies or tech companies were all in the suburbs and so forth, which is nothing wrong with. I want to make it very, very clear. But I think that something that really changed was getting all of these startups and these companies working around each other and close to one another. And I think really something does magically happen when you are put in your space with it. You know, you go to South of Market in San Francisco and you walk into a coffee shop and somebody's having a conversation next to you in line dealing with the same problem that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the ability for us to be able to create that in Midtown and now downtown is really incredible. And I really think, you know, it's funny. I used to think about that. I had that exact scenario happen. And I thought, well, for us, you know, the Urban Hive itself is going to try to be that, like, little town center and whatnot. But the reality now is it's now a much bigger thing. I'm thinking, wow, our city could actually be that.
Yeah, it's a cross-pollination that leads to critical mass.
Oleg, now you've been around some companies that have scaled, and, you know, I can just imagine, I'm thinking about the Amazon purchase of Whole Foods, right? And how much time as a bigger customer, how should we allocate our time as a business that's a little bit larger to things that are not yet profitable, right? So you're focusing, it took you a long time to get those first set of, it took you a little while to get that first set of customers, but should more mature businesses allocate some of their resources to where the puck is going, even though they're not profitable today?
Absolutely. So first of all, it took us just under 3 years to get our first customer.
Wow.
That's not a short amount of time.
That's not.
So resilience, absolutely. So if you're talking about larger companies and making investments in innovation and in startups, et cetera, that is at the top of the list of what they could and should be doing to not only support the region and the community, but make their businesses more competitive in the future, or they will die. It doesn't matter if we're talking about Amazon today or a medium-sized company. If they don't innovate, including investment in new companies, they will die.
I mean, I think that's part of the challenge that we face is, you know, I have a number of companies, some of them are a little bit bigger, and yeah, how much time do you spend into making the profits for today, or how much do you allocate your resources to making the profits today versus creating that next disruptive, innovative opportunity?
100%. In fact, our example would be the company that we were 2 years ago would not be expanding today. So, and we made some very strategic decisions about a year ago to really, you know, basically up the value of what we were doing and what we were creating because we knew that there were other people coming into the market doing similar things. And so we just wanted to make sure that we were always going toward the blue ocean, if you will, to make sure there's no competition. And you know what? It took some money and it took some risk, and it's paying off now. So
that's
awesome. It's really great.
So really quick example. I was just in Paris and I heard the CEO of Accor Hotels, which is a massive hotel group, speak about innovation, they're valued around $12 billion or so. And he was saying that his objective is to get to somewhere between 5 to 10% of their value to be investments in new companies.
Wow.
Like everyone else in the industry, they missed Airbnb, they missed TripAdvisor, they missed all of these opportunities, and they refused to do that in the
process. And the best innovation seems to happen in these small companies or these small entrepreneurial teams, starting at places like the Urban Hive. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show today. We're about out of time. You guys were fantastic. Again, Oleg Keganovich and Brandon Weber, you are what Sacramento entrepreneurship is all about. I want to mention next week's show, we're going to be talking about hometown patriotism with Scott Moak of the Sacramento Kings, and we're going to be bringing on war hero Emmett Spractus to talk about his service. It's an Independence Day show that you do not want to miss. Caroline, you want to talk about our sponsors real quick?
Yes, I sure do, Mark.
Thank you, Caroline.
Wanted to do a shout out, special thanks to Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank, Kim and her team at Silver's HR.
Yes.
Ethan Conrad Property.
Okay, now I had to jump in here on Five Star Bank. They just brought on a venture capital stud. John Gregory is the new VP over there, and he's overseeing venture banking. So Five Star Bank loading up on some talent that's going to be focused right here in our world, in the startup community, in the venture community. So congratulations to Five Star for landing John Gregory. He's an expert in virtual reality stuff. He's got his own fund along with Dave Sanders. I'm an investor into that. So great pickup, Five Star. Did you mention Ethan Conrad?
Yes,
and,
I did.
Yeah, he is a man with a little bit of real estate. You might know him. I don't know.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, Brandon's heard the name. He's doing something kind of, I would call it extremely generous, where he's putting up $100,000 worth of free rent. He's running a pitch contest against that. So the top pitchers, I guess, if you will, the top entrepreneurs will have a shot at that $100,000 worth of free rent. So if you want some more information on that, get a hold of me, HaneyBiz.com. You want to grow your business, come see me. We can have HaneyBiz go hands-on. We can help you grow your business, reach your potential. And you know what? If they want more Mark Haney, Caroline, some people do not want more Mark Haney. What are they supposed to do?
I think they do, Mark.
They may or may not want more Mark Haney. If you do want more Mark Haney, where should they go to find me?
HaneyBiz.com. You're on LinkedIn. You're on Instagram.
I'm
Facebook.
All those.
You're all over the
I'm
place.
I'm everywhere these days. Okay, join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. This thing is brought to you courtesy of my friends at DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you by Ethan Conrad Properties. I'm Mark Haney, and today we have been talking to two of the most innovative leaders in Sacramento entrepreneurship. These guys are at the forefront of this rapidly changing, disruptive landscape. Time is flying by. We gotta get in the game. It reminds me of that Kenny Chesney song, actually, about that 100-year-old man. He's looking back at his life, and I think it goes something like this. When your hourglass runs out of time, you can't turn it over and start again. Does it sound
right.
like that, Mark? You know
that
what song
is right.
that is?
It's Don't Blink.
Don't Blink. Yeah, for me, that should have been Don't Drink. But still, time flies by when you're, when you're trying to build a business. And you know what? If you are on the sidelines, that just does not work if you're trying to innovate.
No doubt.
Caroline, takeaways from today. What do you think?
I'm just impressed of our Sacramento area having, it's just proof with Brandon and Oleg that we have some of the coolest and most successful leaders of innovation right here in Sacramento.
No doubt. Marcus, closing thoughts?
Well, I liked what Brandon was talking about with Angel Hack and taking a community that brings entrepreneurship to life over a weekend. It's something that I don't think we've had in Sacramento before, and his ability to put folks together and really make that happen is truly, truly innovative for our space.
No question. I think we talked a little bit too about creating that innovative mindset, right? It's the way you think that really is where it all starts, right? The way you think, right, that affects your attitude, your mindset, affects the mindset mindset, or excuse me, the attitude, which affects the behavior, which ultimately affects your decisions and your outcome. And I think it starts with the way we think. We have to decide that we're not happy with the status quo, that somehow things need to change and get better, and that maybe we look at ourselves and go, well, maybe I'm the guy. Maybe we have the team. Maybe I have the idea.
Right.
And it starts there, because there is a better way to do almost everything. You may not be, I know I am not, the guy that knows how to create the next Uber or the next Amazon, but I can disrupt the small stuff, right? I can focus on what I can control and make it better. And it might be something as small as the way we greet our customer when they walk in the front door of our building, right? Something, we have a receptionist that's disruptive. She's creating something remarkable. You walk into Haney Biz and it's like, wow, that's a different kind of experience. It's a disruptive kind of experience that makes it's shareable. It makes you want to tell your friends. And I think that we have to decide that we're going to be great at something, even if it's the smallest thing or what might seem like the smallest thing. Hey, it's just when the customer walks in the door. I know, but we're going to make it different. We're going to make it great. We're going to make it better than anybody's ever done before. And it makes me think to a time where we built something that was kind of disruptive back in the video store days. Some of you may remember this, you may not, but there was a format war, right? VHS against beta. And we had a TV shop and we sold VCRs, and we decided that we were going to focus on beta, which most people thought would be the wrong one, right? That was a little bit smaller tape, and VHS was the more popular one, but somehow we figured out how to turn that into something disruptive, right? Sacramento is about a 1% market. Well, we found a way to go to the manufacturers and buy tons and tons, thousands, tens of thousands of VCRs, get tons of time to pay for them, and sell them very cheaply, dump them into the Sacramento market. And guess what that did? That created the need for video rentals in Sacramento in beta, right? 1% market, right? If you take the video rental purchases, we turned Sacramento into a 30% market. 30% of the U.S. video rental business happened right here in Sacramento because one company decided to flood the market with over 100,000 beta machines. We did that Gillette style. You put the product into the market, and then they have to come to you to get their video rentals, to get their addiction handled. And we did that. And you know what? It was kind of disruptive. But obviously, Blockbuster and Hollywood moved in. Eventually, we got disrupted by technology. But that's how disruption happens. It happens by thinking a little bit differently. Going with the wrong one. Going with beta.
Sometimes.
Hey, whatever. Sometimes that's what you do. You go different, but you go all in on what you know, because we knew we could build a business. Every VCR we sold led to $1,000 a year in video rentals. We knew that. So as we go to the end of the show today, as we think about what we each can do as entrepreneurs, disrupt the small stuff. And if you don't know what that means now, go be around some people that know what that means. Get around people at the Urban Hive. Get around people who think entrepreneurially. Get around people who think like innovators. And guess what? That stuff rubs off. Focus on the most important processes of the day, the everyday game changers, no matter how small they are. Disrupt the small stuff, because everything is possible if you take that everything possible mentality. I'm going to do everything possible to make it as great as I can on something really, really small in the process. You can fix anything if you pick a small enough item. We all have that inside of us. So again, as this entrepreneurial revolution begins to take hold, as entrepreneurs begin to help more and more entrepreneurs, you know what? This happens one entrepreneur at a time. Everybody's got something special inside them, some gift inside them. And we just have to figure out a way to bring that out. We can focus on that if we focus on you, if we focus together, right? if we encourage every entrepreneur in this community to get some help, to get around the Urban Hive type guys, right? If we can make that part of the Sacramento DNA, now we've got something. So a little salute as we go to the end of the show, to the hometown leaders, to the guys focused on hometown patriotism, Mr. Oleg Kaganovich, Mr. Brandon Weber, Marcus Haney, and Caroline Gaines, to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and this wonderful opportunity to innovate. To the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one big American innovation that's always worth fighting for. Yours. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.